listening to Real Talk on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
You're on Reality Check Radio. It's Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. Remember, you can send us a text at 2057. Email us inbox at realitycheck.radio. We've got the Professor Gardening Guru, Wally Richards, with us. Good morning, Wally.
Yeah, good morning, Rodney, and all the keen gardening listeners out there. Hi, hi, hi. Remember that old program, Heidi Ho?
Heidi Ho. Oh, that was after my time, Wally.
Okay.
Now, tell me. I read your column this week.
Yes.
Home gardening now is just not a hobby or a bit of fun or a way to keep healthy, if you're
and
right.
A necessity, safety, security. My God.
You think what? they're coming for the farmers, right?
Oh, they already have, haven't they? You know, this methane rubbish, according to the farmers and their studies, it's a whole lot of rubbish.
Of course it is. The whole climate change is a complete scam.
Yes.
To shut down the engine of industry through making energy sources unaffordable. Not only that, they're now using it to come after the farmers.
Yeah. And this is disaster. And I can't understand the logics of it, because let's face it, if you don't have farmers, you don't eat. If you don't eat, you die. Simple. And destroying the ability to farm by taxing them or having reduced emissions. Now, that's the stupid part of it too. Think about this. Common sense tells me that hundreds or thousands of years ago, on Mother Earth, we would have had so many animals, even in America, the bison, literally millions of bison roaming across the United States of America, my God, and farting like you would not believe. And has the planet been destroyed as a result? Can't be, because we're here. The logics of it is so stupid. Okay. There'd be more animals on the planet in the past than we have stock on paddocks these days, right?
I have been a student of the climate change hysteria for 40 years.
Right.
And I treated it a little bit seriously at the start because I thought clever people are making this argument. I was an environmentalist. I cared about the planet. Of course, we all do. And so I treated it with some seriousness. And I realized by 1991 that it was complete BS. And it was such a shock to me. Because here's what we know. We know that at times past, the Earth's atmosphere has been way higher in CO2 than it is now.
Yes.
Way higher. That was the great flowering. That was the Carboniferous when all the plants grew.
Yeah, giant plants, my God.
Giant plants. At the moment, our plants are totally starved of CO2.
Not totally, but it's getting to that dangerous level.
Yeah, they're starved. Let's say starved of CO2. So any extra CO2 they can get is well received by them.
So do you go around breathing on your plants?
No.
But well, you should do. It helps.
There's nothing aberrant about the temperature records for the last 100 years. It's been hotter in the past. We've had more rapid increases in the past, long before there was man. There's no clear signal between the level of carbon dioxide and methane and the world's temperature. None.
Yep.
There's no indication of sea level rise. It is getting warmer, but the earth warms and cools. You know, remember the ice ages that we learned at school?
Yeah.
Remember about, you know, the little ice age, about the warming periods? Remember that they grew grapes in Scotland and made wine?
Right, yep.
The Thames used to freeze over regularly. These things used to happen in the past. We've been the last little while warming. And then to my horror, Wally, I discovered this, that our own Niwa was faking the records.
I'm not saying
making a mistake. I'm saying faking the records. And I, as a minister, ask them for the adjustments that they made to their temperature record, which they used to scare the living daylights out of people to show that it had warmed over 1 degree. And they told me they couldn't because it was on their old computer that had been discarded. They were the opposite of science. That was the government, a minister, trying to find out how Niwa figured out New Zealand was warming. In fact, the unadulterated temperature record says that New Zealand's had a consistent temperature for the last 100 years.
Now, that's interesting. I have an old temperature weather thing from them, which was given to me maybe 30, 40 years ago. And in our gardening writer, this is Nick Scott, he gave it to me. And we used to use this for the average temperatures, ground, what's the name, because it had all that. Hopefully I've still got that book somewhere, because that is their computer record that they have lost.
No, the record they lost was the adjustments they made. So you can figure this out. They used initially 7 different stations in New Zealand. They had records on these stations going back over 100 years, but they adjusted them because variations, whatever. If you just took the records, the temperature record was dead flat. But when they did their adjustments, it cooled in the early years and warmed in the latter years. So you naturally said to them, oh, could you tell us how you adjusted that? And the idea was you'd adjust because of the urban heat effect, or because there's a different guy measuring it, or the thermometer had changed or something. They couldn't, because they had lost the adjustments. We had the original records. They published the adjusted records, but couldn't explain or replicate the adjustment.
Right.
The only place that we find alarming global warming is in the computer models.
Yeah.
And they are literally programmed to show alarming warming.
Yeah.
Every prediction that they've made for it getting this hot by such and such a date for the last 30 years has been falsified.
But and they wrong.
Still and wrong. And they still come along and they say in 10 years it's going to be terrible. We've got to stop farming, shut down industry, shut your cars, not have any new energy production. And here we are. Now, tell us what it means for farmers and what it means for me and our listeners, the home gardener, or those who should be gardening.
Well, the reason that they're doing it is exactly what Kissinger said. Control the food, control the people, right? So The methods they're utilising is a reduction of CO2, and that's on the premises that it will help with global warming, which we know is incorrect, because the only thing it will do is disrupt the ability of plants to grow. And if plants can't grow, that's our food source for not only us, but for animals and other creatures as well. Next, of course, the dimming of the skies, on the pretext that we will help reduce the heat of the planet by putting all sorts of things up into the atmosphere, aerosols of aluminium, sulfur, etc., etc., and that will reduce the amount of heat on the planet, which is a total lie, because the research I did, it meant that if you have haze or cloud cover, then it's not the sunlight that causes heat, it's UV, right? UV is what causes the heat. Now, if UV has to pass through haze, it's actually zigzaggies and intensifies. So when it hits the planet, it's going to be a lot hotter than it would be if you had just a nice clear sky. Then, of course, that heat is trapped because it can't escape out into the atmosphere. So hence we create global warming in that aspect. Then, of course, that heat is intensified over water, which means you've got a lot more water being sucked up into the sky and then possibly directed to places where they grow food. Maybe they've got the ability to do that and then drop it down like a meter of rain to wash out and flood and destroy food crops, which happens in food growing areas, we notice. Okay, so the whole thing is an absolute lie, and the idea is that, and in that article that I wrote, I discovered from research that in Canada, they have spent millions of dollars creating a farm to harvest, I think it's grasshoppers and some worm or something rather, to convert into protein, which will be your maggot McDonald's of the future.
Hey, maggot, hey, McDonald's. Wally, you and I sound like conspiracy theorists.
Oh, no. We're not. We're just far advanced of our time.
we sound like we're doing our own research on the internet.
Well, the interesting thing about the internet was designed and given to us common people as a means of finding out what we're doing, right? But in actual fact, we can use their weapons against them. And now we're doing so. So we've got dedicated, honest scientists out there giving us the real information through social media or however, which they can't go to a radio station or a TV station and give that information, because if they do, they're shoved off the air immediately. They open their mouth. You're not allowed to say that. You're not allowed to tell the truth.
Wally, you sound like you don't listen to the experts.
I don't listen to, they say that the science is set, right?
Yes.
Where's that effect? Fixed. That's bullshit, because science is never fixed. It's always evolving. It's always discovering more aspects. So science is never fixed. Never. Otherwise, it's not science. It's
and
propaganda.
All of this is having an effect on farm production.
Oh, yes, of course. And that effect will become greater and greater. The dimming of the skies means that plants do not get direct sunlight. They do not get direct sunlight. That means they can't photosynthesize and create carbohydrates. If they can't do that, they can't grow, period. Like if you take a plant and in a pot, it's growing it quite happily, you know, Mr. Lettuce, there, I'm going good here, out in the sunshine, and you take it inside and put it in your wardrobe and close the door, what happens? It don't last long. It survives for about a week, and it gets really, really upset.
So if you have a garden, you have at least some buffer for food, but more particularly, like we saw with eggs, the prices could become unaffordable for food.
Well, that's the idea of it. And I found out too in my research that very influential, rich people, globalists, Bill Gates, has invested a hell of a lot of money into growing insects to be used for human consumption. And also, I've read a study that showed that the aspect of insects our metabolism is not designed to eat insects of any quantity, and we will be sick or reject them or whatever. So until we adapted, as our bodies have to adapt for GE crops, we have a health aspect problem. We
So
can adapt.
this is why we need to be gardening, and we need to be befriending a community. We need to be befriending farmers. We need to be supporting farmers. We need to know people that have hens. We need to support each other, because this could get dark very quickly, like we saw with COVID, like we saw just that spike in the egg price was entirely manufactured.
Yeah. Just like gold prices
Yeah.
manufactured.
Tell me here, Wally. When did you realize that not all in the world was as it should be?
Good question, because these things come gradually, little bits. And the biggest problem is you sit there and you say, my government would not do that to me. The world is not like that. People in UN, WHO, etc., they're not going to go out and deliberately try and kill me, will they? And that's the first barrier you've got to get over. And then you've got to realize, of course, that the media is controlled by these people, and what they give out on the media. I watched our local station was Russia, where Ukraine is going in and into Russian soil and so forth. And on our local station was giving, hurrah, hurrah, Ukraine's going there. On RT, it's a different story. They've lost so many men, so many bloody vehicles. It's not even funny. They might have got into Russia, but they haven't got very far. And it's their last stand, I think, trying to get somewhere before they have to sit down and talk, because Ukraine is stuffed. Now, Ukraine is a major food producer. The land there produces wheat and barley and God knows what. It's a major. And of course, that's one of the aspects of this whole thing. Control the food.
When did you become aware that things weren't as they should be?
I don't know.
Was it before
But
COVID?
oh, well before, my God.
Wow.
Like I in my 20s, and that's going back 50 years ago, I said at the time to myself, I figured it out, that we as a species are overpopulated the planet on the way we actually do things on the planet. We pollute it, we destroy it, right? The planet could support probably 5 or 10 times more people than it is at the moment, but because of what we do, raping the planet, it can't. And my thoughts were, well, really, we've got to reduce the population to have a sustainable planet, right? Because the way we're polluting the oceans, we have destroyed most of the soil on the planet, and it takes hundreds of years to build up an inch of soil, good viable soil, unless it's you go to it and do it yourself, which we can, but naturally it does take a long time. So I figured out then, and all I was doing probably was thinking along the lines of what the globalists want. But then, and when you look at it, they have been trying to do this for like hundreds of years, progressively. And there is an underlying aspect behind the whole thing, too, which is a rabbit hole that not many people would comprehend or go down, why it all is happening. Because the globalists and the politicians, etc., are just puppets. There's a control behind them.
Well, for me, I realized that chlorofluorocarbons, the CFCs and aerosols, was a scam. I realized that acid rain was a scam. I realized 35 years ago that global warming was a scam. But here's the interesting thing. I thought that was that. I thought it's just this environmental thing. They've gone loopy and people are listening to them. And I thought I could explain the science to them and they'd get it. Never could.
No.
And then COVID came. And that made me realize it was general. It's everywhere you look. It wasn't just the one thing that I had studied and made myself reasonably accomplished at. It was everywhere. And it's a strange thing because we can say, oh, it's satanic, or they want power, or they want money. The reasons in a funny way may not be discernible to us. It's like a murderer. You can never understand why someone would murder another human being, but they do. And it's in us to do evil things to people. And oftentimes we can't explain what we do, sometimes that we do ourselves. Why did we do that? I don't know. So oftentimes it's a mystery why it's why they're doing it, but it's happening. And we actually have to be prepared, right?
Oh, yes. If you're not.
You said that in your article. You've got to be like the little boy scout. You've got to be prepared.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're not, you're going to wake up one day and realize that that stuff has hit the fan and you ain't got no protection. You got no security. Look, I remember as a kid, my parents and my grandparents in particular had gone through the Great Depression, right? And as a result of that, on their quarter acre block, we had chickens, we had fruit trees, we had a big veggie garden. In fact, that was so good. And we had a pantry full of preserves, pickles, etc. Because back then, refrigeration didn't exist, per se. For refrigeration, we had one of those little concrete block things that you had outside and you put water in the top of it where there was a bit of a cavity and you put your milk or your butter in that. Do you remember that?
No, but we had used to have a safe at the side of the house.
Inside the house, yes. That was the cold air coming up, etc. Yeah. No, this was a concrete thing with a concrete door. Oh, you're too bloody young. I don't know.
Luxury.
It's like talking to your children.
I grew up with an outside toilet. A safe, yes. And never thought anything of it. Don't know how you did it now. And my father grew up without power.
Yeah, yeah. And the family po.
Family po.
Under the bed.
Yeah.
At nighttime, instead of having to go out to the long drop, in the dark, where the wetters were and God knows what else, to have a toilet, and crappy weather, no light. And so the family po under the bed. And what did we do with the family po under the bed in the morning?
Threw it on the lawn.
We put it over the compost heap.
Over the compost heap.
Yeah.
There you go. And but, of course, that's what we're rediscovering. And those families, my mum used to make sew my undies. I used to hate them because the elastic was never any good and they'd always fall down. She'd make my trousers and my shirts. Everything got mended. She'd have an old flour sack and that would be your underpants.
Darning your socks.
Socks got darned. And your dads could fix anything that broke.
Yep. Yep, for sure.
Now people can't change a frigging light. We've got to get back to that level of resilience, right?
Yeah. But then again, that was all taken away from us, all our manufacturing, et cetera, by the globalist idea of free trade. And as a result of free trade, manufacturers in New Zealand couldn't compete with what was coming out of Asia into the warehouse. So instead of getting a good kettle for maybe $40, you pick one up for $5, my God. And the throwaway kettle, you know, because they didn't last all that long. So the world changed at that point of time. Before that, New Zealand was God's own. After that, it's gone downhill rapidly.
It's a funny thing because I always saw it the other way around, Wally. I always saw it as great progress.
Nah.
and now I see it like you.
Yep, yep, yep. And America, see, they're in the same boat. All their manufacturing companies.
But here's the good news, Wally. There's nothing more fun than gardening. There's nothing more satisfying than gardening for yourself and for your family. 2 months ago, hen scared the little living bejesus out of me. I hope that's not a swear word. Maybe it is. I won't say that again. And now I'm up there with my hens. This morning I had a water problem that I was fixing for my hens because I'm sort of making things more robust. And they'd got a bit short of water, Wally, and I took a water and a dog bowl up for them. They didn't know what they wanted first. They were literally running between the two, thinking I'm thirsty and I'm hungry. And I actually love my hens now.
Yeah, yeah. They're
so cute.
Lovely people.
They are lovely people. And they, I've only got to walk near them. They come bounding over to see what I got to feed them. And I actually always try and take them something now because they look always miserable if I don't feed them something. And, man, they produce the best eggs I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they're beautiful, yeah.
And my potatoes are still going, Wally.
Yep.
We're surviving on our potatoes. They're so wonderful, so easy to plant. Good time to plant potatoes. I'm going to get my potatoes in before I head overseas, and I'm going to plant my garlic. I do everything a bit later. I've worked out now because I'm down here in Otago. And so we're good. And we've got our community, Rally Check Radio, where we support each other and can reach out. They won't catch us napping.
You might have noticed too that in my last article, in the previous one, I put in a little thing called future proof, right? Yeah. Now, people have to email me to wallyjrgardennews.co.nz to get a copy of that. I haven't finished writing it at the moment, but future proof is my thoughts and ideas. I've already got maybe 100-odd people have asked for the article when I put it out. It's not going to be published. It's only going to be private because this is stuff that I think that people can do to help them in the future, save money, be better off, whatever, right?
Wally, you're our national treasure. It's always lovely talking to you. And while it's a somber story, it's a realistic story to my mind, and it's actually a story of hope and joy because that gardening and the hens, it's a wonderful part of my life now.
Yep, it saves you two ways, and three ways actually. First of all, it saves your pocket going to the supermarket buying your veggies. Secondly, the stuff you grow is so much healthier. It means it saves on your medical bills. And thirdly, you get out and get a bit of bloody sunlight and fresh air. And that is good for you because vitamin D is essential.
There you go. That's our Professor Gardening Guru, Wally Richards, with his words of wisdom and his warning, which I think is well heard because Wally's been around the block or two. And send us a text at 2057. Email us at inbox@radleycheck.radio. So wonderful to have you along this morning.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.